Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1116. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio, the return of Paris Lilly, even though you were here on the last episode. But what's up, Paris?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Paris, man? Paris, a lot of people have been talking about the last episode, man. MLB The Show 21. I think we have to like talk a little bit more about that, because it's been now a couple of days. There's more news about it, and more theories from people. And I know you had a theory about all this on the latest episode of S-Cast, and I would love for you to share that with the audience of the strategy of where Game Pass is headed. So we'll talk about that later on. Also, NVIDIA, this episode, what we have with NVIDIA, Paris? People don't know.
Yes. So we have a sponsored segment by the good folks over at NVIDIA GeForce, and we will be talking about Outriders and all the advantages of using NVIDIA DLSS. And just to be completely upfront and transparent, NVIDIA did provide both myself and Danny an RTX 3080 to play Outriders. So we will be talking about that in just a few minutes.
Yes, yes. And also we are going to talk about Outriders, our experience, hands-on impressions, everything. Not a full review, because I still haven't finished it. I know you haven't finished it either yet. But we could talk about the experience so far since we've been playing now for the past couple of days. So all this and more here on Gamertag Radio. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. If you would like to be part of our family discussions or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple of questions that we have. We're going to save it for the next episode of GTR. But if you're listening to this, we want to hear your feedback about the show, about our topics, or if you have any questions about gaming, please send it in. Doesn't matter if it's email or voicemail. We'll definitely play here on the show. And Paris, I think on Thursday, I would love to have just a full episode of just fan mail questions. And I think that would be cool for us to just talk about and answer questions from the listeners. So I think that would be awesome.
Yeah,
so
we'll agreed. Make it happen.
All right. So Paris, let's talk a little bit about MLB The Show 21, not 12, like the mistake I did on
that
Twitter.
That was hilarious. The Back to the Future memes were fantastic. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, but Xbox Game Pass, we talked about it on the last episode. That was an emergency podcast episode. Make sure to go to the previous episode and listen to it. We had a great conversation. But the more the days have been passing by, the more I've been thinking about the strategy that we've been seeing now with a lot more third parties joining on Game Pass. And even you mentioned your theory that you think Battlefield most likely will be on Game Pass on day one. And which the more we talk about it, the more I think that is going to happen. I agree with you so well. But I know there was a thing that you mentioned during your conversation in the last episode of S-Cast, a kind of funny S-Cast. Make sure to download it. You mentioned why this is happening, that we're seeing games like Destiny, MLB The Show, and I know there's another game too that you mentioned that are now appearing on, Outriders. They're now appearing on Xbox Game Pass on day one. And I would like for you to share that to the audience, man, about your thoughts and your theory why this is happening. We'll go from there.
Sure. So, yeah, just following up on the MLB The Show 21 talk, you know, it just really made me start thinking about, all right, what is Xbox doing here? What is the long-term plan? And I really think when you look at Outriders and now MLB The Show, both showing up day one on Game Pass, these are two big third-party games for them. Well, MLB The Show now is technically a third party. And I don't think this is it. I'm pretty sure we're going to see more third-party publishers look at these two games as a case study, and they're going to want to put their games on Game Pass because it's kind of a win-win, not only for Xbox, because obviously it's adding more value to that subscription service, but it's also a win for the third-party publisher because getting that game on Game Pass creates more engagement. That's the thing. We've already seen it with Outriders, and not just on the Xbox platform. You've seen more engagement on Steam, record numbers. You know, I saw that the PlayStation 5 version of Outriders has sold very well already. So it's not only getting more people on the Xbox platform, but even on other platforms where people obviously still need to purchase the game at retail price, they're being more engaged because it's creating more talk. There's more talk on social media about it and all that. But sticking more specifically to Game Pass, like I said, it creates more engagement. And it really dawned on me with Destiny 2. And that's what I talked about on XCast. If you think about it, Bungie doesn't care if you get the base game or the quote-unquote expansion every year for free. What Bungie is doing is they're getting more people into playing Destiny by having it on Game Pass, which in turn, if the game is good, this is another key thing to this. It isn't as simple as throw my game up on Game Pass. Your game actually has to be compelling and it has to grab people's attention, because if you get that long-term engagement with the game, what happens next? The new DLC comes out. You're going to go buy it because now you're hooked into that game and you want to go play it. There's other microtransaction, cosmetic things that they can tempt you with that if the game has earned it, you're going to go spend the money on it because you almost feel like as a Game Pass subscriber, well, I didn't have to risk $60 or $70 on this game. I can go try it. And if the game is actually good enough, I'll be willing to invest into that game long term. And we already know how the industry is working now. You make more money on the back end than you do up front because it's the long term DLC and microtransactions where EA and Activision are making billions every year off of their titles, right? So, you know, we joke around about, oh, Battlefield 6 and all that, but it kind of makes sense. You know, when you think about Battlefield and you think that Battlefield 5, you know, it wasn't that great. Let's just keep it real here, right? It wasn't the success that EA was hoping it was going to be. So now you're coming out with Battlefield 6. A lot of people are going to be on the fence about that game. Do I really want to spend $60 or $70? Go get Battlefield 6. What if it's just like Battlefield 5? I don't know. Look, we're in an age now where we can't necessarily trust previews and all that because they'll show us whatever they want to show us. And then the final game isn't what they told us it was going to be, right? So, yeah, putting something on Game Pass from an EA standpoint, just as an example, would make a lot of sense because you get Battlefield 6 on Game Pass. It starts creating word of mouth around the industry. More people are like, huh, well, I could go try it. And if Battlefield 6 is everything that DICE wants it to be, now you get long-term engagement from it. Now you want to go buy the new DLC that comes out for it, the new expansion, whatever. Now you are spending money on that title on the back end because you've lowered the risk up front for you with Game Pass. That's how I'm looking at it. And obviously the financial sorcery and wizardry that Xbox and EA would negotiate on the front end, you know, on how to get it there, I'm sure they can figure it out. They clearly did it with Square and Outriders, who's obviously seen it with Major League Baseball. And I would throw another one in there as well. Back 4 Blood, in my opinion, is a prime candidate to go on Game Pass. It's a fun zombie co-op experience. It's going to get people playing it. We, you know, you and I already played the beta that came out a few months ago. It's a blast. I honestly would have spent the $60 on it anyways. But now people that aren't so sure about it, it's on Game Pass. You'll go pick it up. You'll start playing it. You'll start liking it. And when the next quote unquote season of Back 4 Blood comes out and there's new things to buy, you'll probably be a lot more willing to do it. We've already seen that Forbes article that came out. I know Sarah Bond was in it, some other people from Xbox. They're already starting to show the numbers that games on Game Pass create more engagement. Even their own games like Sea of Thieves, Forza Horizon 4, things like that. They've seen the engagement go up since those games have gone on Game Pass. And I'm sure there's a boatload of statistics out there for other titles as well, that you get more engagement when it's a part of that subscription service. So, they're not done. You can't tell me they're done. There will be, and look, it may not be Battlefield or whatever, me talking under my tuchus, but is when I think about big titles that potentially could come, it makes sense. And I have already seen people there. I mean, well, it's EA Play. They're not going to do that. That's not how EA Play works. Look, like Morpheus said, some rules can be bent, others can be broken. They'll do whatever they want to do. If it makes financial sense, they will do it. That's all I'm saying. Don't take the fact that EA Play is currently set up to not do it, to not think that EA won't change the way EA Play works if they want to start having some of their bigger titles show up day one on Game Pass. They'll absolutely do it if it makes financial sense.
Yeah, and definitely, like you said, Paris, it's all about the numbers. If there's a way for EA not only to promote and get more people to be engaged in Battlefield, this will also help the service EA Play, because EA Play is also part of Game Pass, but they don't have games that launches on day one on Game Pass. This could be the first one if that ever happened. And I can see that happening. Now, when you said about engagement, I have to agree with you, man, because I am a huge fan of Minecraft Dungeons. Huge. I play that game nonstop, right? So there was a DLC that came out that I purchased it online because I thought originally it was going to be part of Game Pass. So I go in and I couldn't go to those levels. It said that I had to buy the DLC. So I actually purchased it and started playing it, right? So then recently the Season Pass came out, and that code, I got it from Microsoft, and I have like the Season Pass in there. But I purchased the one before, and there's people that probably have done the same thing. They probably bought the Season Pass or just bought one DLC that's already out, or maybe everything altogether. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's a great way. And I know that Doom Eternal, the DLC from that, is also, you have to buy it if you want to play it, but the game is available on Game Pass. I think that's a great way to get people to be engaged, to support their games that they like, and or microtransactions. Maybe they want cosmetics and so on. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I could definitely see that. Now, there is some games that, especially first-party games, you don't need to buy DLC. You don't need to buy none of that because everything is available there. And the reason is, this coming from Microsoft, is because they still want you to be part of the subscription service of Game Pass, and they start adding more. Now, but when it comes to third party, that's when the, what you said, Paris, the engagement, people buying more stuff, it will benefit the third party. And at the same time, that game is available day one, which is going to be very helpful for Microsoft to create more value for the service. You know, but here's the thing too, Paris, once iOS comes out, the app to play S-Cloud there, also smart TVs, or different ways for you to be part of the service of Game Pass or S-Cloud, you know they're going to get a bigger audience. So there's a reason why Microsoft is investing so much money on getting the right games to be on Game Pass, man. Not only AAA games from third party, but also independent games too, man. It's going to help the service a lot, man.
No, it is. And I think the most important thing out of all of this is, to the people that are detractors to Game Pass, and I'm not saying it's perfect, there's obviously positives, but there's some negatives to it as well. It's choice. You do not have to subscribe to the service to play these games. You can still go spend $60 or $70 to buy these games. And that's where choice is amazing. you have the choice to do it. If you don't like Game Pass, don't subscribe to it. I'm personally me, I think it's a fantastic service. I think it's the best value in gaming. Not to say that I'm 100% right. Obviously, a lot of other people think the same way, but there's other people that do not think that. But you get to choose individually on if you want to take advantage of that service or not. But if you look at the industry as a whole, if you look at the free-to-play model, Apex Legends is actually a great example of this. Apex Legends is free to play. I can go pick it up and just start playing it right now. But if you really love that game, like Danny, I know you play it a lot. If you really love Apex and you really are getting into it, what are you eventually going to start doing? You're going to start buying all the seasonal content because you're going to want those extra perks and things so that you can, you know, keep playing the game and all that. It can work. And in a weird way, Game Pass would almost be like this extended free-to-play model in that sense. Yes, you're a subscriber. Obviously, you got to spend your $10 or $15 every month. But look, again, I let Microsoft and whoever worry about all the financials on their end, how they make this, you know, work for them as being profitable. Don't need to care about that because I'm a gamer. All I know is I spend either $120 or $180 a year, and that gives me access to hundreds of games. And then third parties are probably looking at this and they're seeing so much engagement for people that are a part of this service because there's the discovery aspect of it. There's, like you said, all the indie titles that we're getting now. You're finding the back catalog of some of these great AAA games. Why not apply that same logic to new AAA games, to new indie games, to new AA games that can come to the service? Because if my game is good, and again, this is where I think people need to also understand, you can't just throw some half-assed game up on Game Pass and expect it to succeed. It'll actually have the opposite effect. If your game is a buggy mess at launch and or it's, you know, it's just not a fun thing to play, guess what? You're going to stop playing that game. You're going to move on to something else. Period, because you don't have a quote unquote financial investment of $60 or $70 up front into that title where you're going to try to force yourself to make it good, right? You're going to be like, this sucked. All right, I'm going to go play something else that can capture my attention. That's what's going to happen. So in a weird way, it actually puts more pressure on the developer to deliver a quality experience day one. Now, look, server issues aside, we've obviously seen that with Outriders and stuff. Server issues happen and all that stuff. We'll talk about that when we get into Outriders. That I get, but I'm talking about the actual game itself. I'm talking like some Anthem or Cyberpunk 2077 level stuff where it's like, yo, this game's broken. Why did you put this out? I'm not going to play this. I'm going to go play something else. So it works both ways in that sense. Like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see, excuse me, who gets on board third party wise with this. We've obviously seen the rumors with Ubisoft potentially bringing Ubisoft Plus to the service. Now, look, I'll fully admit, a week ago, if you asked me, would Ubisoft games come day and date to Xbox Game Pass? I'd be like, hell no, it'll be the back catalog. They're not going to do that. Why would they do that? Now, maybe. There's a conversation to be had about that. And maybe it's not the entire catalog. Maybe it's select titles. Again, this is why I go back to that Battlefield 6 scenario where I could see a publisher looking at, well, we want this title to be a big hit. We want to make sure we have as many people as possible playing this on opening day. Game Pass is a good way to start that conversation. Just is. But, you know, that's up to Microsoft and what they negotiate with the publishers and how it works out. But, you know, Danny, you coined the phrase during the pandemic, but it is so true. There's no rules. There's no rules.
No rules at all.
Be shocked with any of this stuff. That's all I'm saying. There honestly isn't a no way scenario anymore. There's definitely a way. Wouldn't shock me for any of this stuff to happen. So it'll be exciting to see. I think the summer is when the next bombs are going to drop. I think if they got some major announcements, they're going to hold them to that summer event. And they're probably going to say I'm there. And we'll be like, oh my God, I never thought this game would come to Game Pass day one. This is crazy. We will be saying that this summer about something. I know it. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see if you're a Game Pass subscriber because, like I said, it just adds more value to your subscription every month. And I don't see how that's a bad thing personally.
Yeah, and I mentioned this a couple of times to you, and I think on the show too. I wouldn't be surprised if the next Far Cry will be available day one on Game Pass. I wouldn't have been surprised. And you know, I think would have been the perfect game, Paris, if it hasn't been out yet, right? I mean, it's already been out a couple months ago, but yo, Watch Dogs Legion would have been perfect on day one for Game Pass.
Exactly. That's a great one right there. But this is the point. These kind of games like that, I think benefit from exposing it to a wider audience. That way, a try it audience, because there's a lot of people that will look at something like Watch Dogs Legion and go, I wasn't that big of a fan of Watch Dogs 2. It didn't grab me. Why would I go buy this one? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, wait, $70? I'm not spending that. I'll stay with something safe, something that I know is worth my money. Whereas now, if it's on Game Pass, you'd be like, I'll try it. Why not? Why not try it? You know? And then maybe you actually start playing it and you go, wait, this is actually pretty freaking good. I like this. And then you'll engage with it more and you'll keep playing. Sea of Thieves, honestly, is a big one with this, just looking internally with Microsoft, because Sea of Thieves, they showed statistically how much it jumped up once it went on the Game Pass and Steam. So many more people play that game now and engage with that game. And a lot of it has to do with that subscription service. So look, whatever the numbers are, guarantee you Xbox is sharing that stuff with other publishers to see, like, look, here's the benefit of what our subscription service can do. Let's make a deal to get it onto that service.
No, great. But I do want to mention something before we go to the next round, I think you, Paris, that you've been playing PC gaming for a long time. You know, I just started playing PC, but I think that Microsoft needs to invest more on having content for the PC audience too. Because I think I've been noticing they've been putting a lot more on the console side and not much at the PC side.
I agree.
You know, so, and I mean, right now maybe it's like this, but hopefully we get to see that in the future. Because look, Outriders is available on PC, but it's not on Game Pass. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think about that? Like, why do you think Xbox is kind of lacking when it comes to that side?
Yeah, I mean, and again, from a third party standpoint, that's just whatever's being negotiated. Maybe Square didn't want Outriders on Game Pass for PC. Maybe they wanted to get those sales from Steam and Epic, so to speak, right? And look, the numbers are actually bearing out that people on Steam, excuse me, at least, are definitely buying and playing that game. Mm-hmm. So we know that, we already know just from some of the information is out there, every Game Pass deal with a third party is negotiated on an individual basis. That's why some games you see show up both on console and PC, some you don't. Yeah, me personally, I would definitely like to see more games show up on the PC side for Game Pass, because, I mean, that's the primary place that I play most of my games. So that would be a great thing. It just comes down to whatever is being negotiated. We do know from their internal studios, at least moving forward, all those games are showing up on console and PC. That's just how it is. All their Xbox Game Studio games will be on the console, on the PC, and on the cloud. That's just what's going to happen moving forward. But third parties, some will, some won't. Just depends on what they negotiate, I guess.
All right. All right, Paris, so let's go with the next topic. Let's talk about Outriders, because I have a lot of things to say about the game, and then we'll go with NVIDIA after that.
Well, actually, no, let's do the NVIDIA part first, because I think this actually just plays right naturally into the game itself. So,
okay, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so
we do have an ad around the 30-minute mark, so just want to mention
sure.
that. Sure, go ahead.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, let's go.
But again, just so everyone understands, this is a sponsor segment by NVIDIA. NVIDIA reached out to both of us and asked us if we'd like to participate in playing Outriders on the PC using an NVIDIA RTX 3080 and making sure that it is also being enabled by NVIDIA DLSS. And you may be asking the question, what is NVIDIA DLSS? Well, that is their deep learning super sampling AI. It's a groundbreaking AI that they have been able to incorporate into their newer video cards, their RTX line of video cards. And like I said, to be completely upfront, NVIDIA did provide an RTX 3080 both to myself and to Danny so that we could play Outriders and we could talk about DLSS. So in a nutshell, what DLSS does is a couple things. It allows you to get more performance out of your card, either resolution, frame rate, or both. And the way that works is pretty simple. Just take this example. So let's say, you know, I love to play games in 4K, right? I love to play games in 4K, 60 frames. Well, maybe the game has a lot of requirements that natively I can play it at 4K, but I'm not getting it locked in at 60 frames per second. Like I can only get it at 40 frames per second, just playing it natively that way. Well, when you enable DLSS, this could allow me to have the game at a lower resolution. Like I could actually have the game native at 1080p, but DLSS then with the AI, with the super sampling, basically up-res that game to look like it is in a 4K resolution, but it also gives me more performance. So I can now actually play it at 60 frames per second as well. So to my naked eye, the game is in 4K. I'm now playing it at 60 frames per second and it looks amazing. Now Outriders doesn't have ray tracing, but this also applies to ray tracing as well, where DLSS allows you to enable ray tracing. So you get more performance out of the card and you're now able to have the game at a higher resolution. You're able to have it at a higher frame rate and you can have ray tracing enabled. So when we talk about Outriders, there's four different presets that they have for DLSS. You have ultra performance mode, you have performance mode, you have balance mode, you have quality mode. And this is basically allowing you to have it at different resolutions and then it'll basically up-res it to whatever resolution you want to be able to play it at, and you'll get a little more quality out of it. Me personally, since I've been playing Outriders, I've left that quality mode. I've been playing it 4K. I've been playing damn near 120 frames per second, and it's been fantastic. Turning it off, ironically enough, playing it at 4K, I'm getting about half the performance. I'm getting around 60, but it's not locked at 60. It kind of bounces around. So this is an advantage of what NVIDIA DLSS has done for me, just why specifically playing Outriders at the performance preset. You know what I mean? I'm actually looking in there. I'm not 100% sure what its resolution is doing at native, but like I said, I have it at 4K and it's been great so far. So again, it's DLSS has been around for a few years now. I've played it with other titles as well, and it's been great. Honestly, it's the future of PC performance. It'll be interesting to see if this ever comes to the console. I know there's been some rumblings about it potentially coming to whatever this new Nintendo Switch Pro is going to be. But on the PC side, it's basically just giving you more bang for your buck when it comes to having these GPUs. Like I said, we played on RTX 3080s. It's allowing me to play at a high resolution. It's allowing me to play at a high frame rate. And that's and in the titles that support it, it's allowing me to have ray tracing enabled as well. And still, like I said, have it at an acceptable level to where I'm enjoying my experience when I'm playing. So like I said, NVIDIA DLSS is definitely the future of how we're going to see games displayed in the future.
Yeah, I have to mention this, Paris. I had no idea that the 3080 was going to be that heavy. It is a heavy, heavy as hell, right? So I was, you know, because people, there's probably non-PC gamers out there that have a lot of questions. So I'm going to be that crowd, right, asking those questions for you, the PC expert and everything. And, you know, and I know you're going to give me some tips too on how to make my PC performance even better and everything. So, but my question to you is how this is going to help me as a gaming content creator from that side. And also, what other games you think I should also try out with this, with the 3080?
I can tell you right now, definitely go play Doom Eternal. With DLSS enabled, you will see your performance skyrocket in that. Control is actually another really good one to play, because Control is very system intensive, right? Takes up a lot of your resources. So the performance has always been a little lower natively. But when you enable DLSS, I can play Control at 4K 60 frames with ray tracing on. I mean, it's like it's damn near a miracle almost. I know that some of the marketing material says that, but it's true. The wizardry that AI is doing to be able to give you better performance in the game. Believe it or not, Cyberpunk 2077 is another one that you should definitely, from a visual standpoint, check out using DLSS, because again, it's going to allow you to enable ray tracing. And I mean, it's just a beautiful game on PC. It just is. You know, look, your mileage may vary about what you think about the current state of the game, but from a visual standpoint, it's fantastic. Those would be some good ones to start with. There's definitely others. Fortnite, believe it or not, is another one that you can use DLSS with, and it's a fantastic experience. My son has played on the PC doing Fortnite a few times, enabled ray tracing, the whole thing. But like I said before, the way it's going to help you, even as a creator, right, it's going to allow you, even in your streams and all that, using a single GPU. So at, like, as an example, when I did the campaign for Cyberpunk 2077 and I was streaming with the RTX 3080, it allowed me to still be able to play over 60 frames per second and stream at the same time at an acceptable level, right? And it wasn't, you know, lagging or stuttering and or any of that kind of stuff. So that coupled with the RTX 3080, which is a beast of a GPU, you add in DLSS, that AI that they have, and you put those two together, man, it's just giving you so much more performance for what you're paying for on the PC side, right? Like I said, the fact that we're now at a place where, for me anyways, 4K 60 is pretty much a standard on PC for any game that I play. And honestly, a lot of them I'm hitting 120 frames at 4K, but it's because of DLSS I'm able to do that. Like I said, Outriders is a great example of that right now. But yeah, man, definitely go check out Doom Eternal. Definitely go check out Control as two great examples of using DLSS.
Yeah. Now, my last question, so we could go to talk about Outriders, but you know, there's people going to be confused, Paris, like, man, should I get the 3070, 3080, 3090? Why they should check out this one, 3080, compared to the other two?
Well, again, it comes down to what resolution are you playing at? If you really want to all the bells and whistles, you want to hit that 4K, you want the games that have ray tracing, you want it at least 60 frames, I would suggest at a minimum get an RTX 3080. Honestly, if you really want to go baller, go get a 3090 and then you're really going to be set. But the 3080 kind of is the minimum for that. Now, we start talking 1440p. That's when you're going to start looking at a 3070. That's when you potentially go look at a 3060. 1080p, definitely. Just go get a 3060. So, I mean, it really just, it, like I said, it's resolution and the frame rate that you want to play at. Those are the two things that you want to look at. And like I said, if I'm trying to hit 1440p and I want 120 frames in all my games, I'll probably go get a 3080 because it's absolutely going to be able to meet that requirement. If I'm trying to play at 1080p, you know, same thing, 120, maybe I just need a 3060, right? If I'm really trying to go crazy and I want to play, you know, 1080p at 240 frames per second, because we got monitors out there that support that now, maybe I want to get a 3080 just to cover my bases. Now, if I'm trying to play some of these games at 4K and 120, now maybe I better go look at a 3090. Another game to play, and I'm just thinking this is Microsoft, really, Gears 5. Gears 5. If you want to play at 4K and high frames, over 100, Destiny 2 is another one as well, definitely go get a 3080 as examples, just of games that I've been playing recently, you know, that can take advantage of that. But it's what's more important to you. If, like I said, if you don't care about resolution, you just play at 1080p, you can probably get away with a 3060 or a 3070 if you just care more about having it high frames. If you want the best of both worlds, if you want everything, if you want the whole kit and caboodle, 4K, ray tracing, high frames yeah. and all that, go baller, yeah. go get a 3090 or at least go get a 3080, which will be able to compete, you know, for most games.
All right. So Paris, I'm you know, I'm going to upgrade everything now that I have the 3080. What is it you recommend for me when it comes to monitors, because I want to buy the right one that will, again, that give me that great performance too, man, because I'm still debating.
Comes back to resolution. What resolution
again? No, I want to go 4K.
You want to go 4K 60. Now I'm gonna make 60. A crazy suggestion, and I know not everyone does this, but this is what I'm doing. Okay, I actually I you know, my setup, people have seen pictures online, I have a 32 inch 4K monitor that is actually 60 hertz, but I also have the LG CX 48 inch, which is 4K, and it has HDMI 2.1, and it allows me to play at 120 frames per second in my games. Look, it's not small. It's not for everyone, depending on your setup, but I made it work for me because that's what I wanted. Asus and Acer have monitors that are coming out that will be able to do 4K and HDMI 2.1, or obviously you can do DisplayPort. Sorry, I'm blanking, right? To be able to hit those. So, I mean, LG actually has other PC monitors as well that can do that. But now if you're starting to look at HDR and all that, I mean, there's options out there. Me personally, like I said, I love having this LG OLED. It is really a television, but it works perfectly fine as a PC monitor doing HDMI 2.1. But you can get regular monitors. Like I said, look at Asus, look at Acer, look at LG, just on their PC monitor lineup as examples. You can get display ports that'll be able to play at 4K and high frames using the RTX 3080 or 3090.
All right. Good to know. All right. So we're going to have more discussion about Outriders and other things. And hopefully we could talk about NVIDIA in the future again, Paris, once I have everything ready. I want to show it to you, too, once you visit over here.
No, absolutely.
You know, give me some tips. You know, and thanks to NVIDIA for supporting us and sending us a 3080. I think that's awesome. And can't wait. I can't wait to try it out, man. For me, man.
Yeah. So one last thing before we move into actual Outriders. So again, thank you to NVIDIA for sponsoring this segment. I will also have about an hour of edited gameplay up showing off DLSS and Outriders on my YouTube channel. So by the time you're listening to this, that should be out. If not, it'll be out shortly after. But just go to my YouTube channel, Paris, PARRIS, and that is also a sponsored video from NVIDIA showing off NVIDIA DLSS for Outriders. So thank you to NVIDIA and also to Square Enix as well, because Square Enix did provide the review code that we use to be able to play Outriders.
Perfect. All right, everyone, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have a great discussion about our experience with Outriders. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Are we going to continue with our conversation all about NVIDIA and Outriders? But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Oregon State University eCampus. As a Gamertag Radio listener, you know what it's like to be part of an engaging online community. And at Oregon State University eCampus, creating that type of environment for students around the world is what they do best. Oregon State University is an innovative provider of distance education with over 80 programs to choose from. Advance your career by earning an in-demand degree in fields like computer science, data analytics, or business. I actually went to the official website, and I've been talking about this now for a while, about if you're a content creator, you would like to learn more about creating content online, etc. So I went to one of the careers where you could also take on this here on Oregon State University eCampus, digital communication of arts, which if you're into like media producer, like that's what I do, or you game designer, journalist, reporter, photographer, social media strategist, media manager, consultant, also that's something that I do too, content creator, web design, and much, much more. Go right now to the website and find out which is the career path that you would like to choose, man. Plus, all online programs and classes are developed by the same world-class faculty who teach on campus at OSU. You could get to join a worldwide network of students as you pursue your degree online. And if you do decide to take this, please let us know here on Gamertag Radio. That's something that would be cool. All you have to do is just go to the website right now, and it's super, super easy. Plus, you can see for yourself why Oregon State eCampus is consistently ranked in the nation's top 10 by U.S. News and World Report. So look, you Gamertag Radio listeners, go to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR to find the program that fits you best. Let me repeat that one more time. That's ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, thanks to our sponsor, Oregon State eCampus. Make sure to check it out, man. All right, Paris, so let's talk about Outriders, man. I know the game came out. I know everybody was playing it nonstop, and especially people that have this on Game Pass. Wow, it was a lot of people that have been trying to play this game for the past couple of days. But now, starting Sunday, that's when I noticed that there was no service issues. Like, I was playing it almost all day with friends, even a little bit solo. So I'm glad that everything is a lot better now. So, you know, thanks to everybody that's been working behind the scenes from Square Enix, all the devs, everybody that work on this Outriders service, man. So now, Paris, so I've been playing this now for the past couple of days, man. I have to tell you this. I didn't really care much about the demo, so I only played for like a little bit, and I stopped. But something about this game, it's not even the story, it's not the voice acting, it's not even, to me, it's not the graphics. I think it's more about the gameplay experience, man, that I just love it. It's a lot of fun, right? I don't know about you, but I've been skipping all the cutscenes because I just don't care much about the story at all. You know, I tried at first, but then after a while, I was like, hey, you know what? I just want to play games. So I just want to like collect loot. I just want to go higher in tiers. Like, I've been noticing when you play solo, let's say for me, it was like tier 6. Once I got together with a couple people, we had like a full squad. It went all the way to like almost 8. So my opinion, I'm having a blast with this game. A lot of fun. I can't wait to see what's going to happen later in the campaign and also the end game. Like, I'm so, so curious when it comes to that. But I've been noticing at first the game was like a lot easy. I think the demo I find it more difficult than the retail game. But then now that I'm going higher tiers, I'm like, okay, now I see the challenge, man. Like, I noticed that actually on Sunday when all that happened, man. You know what I'm saying? So boss battles, the enemies are super aggressive now. Lots of grenades left and right. And I've been upgrading. I've been getting a lot of purple drops, legendary drops now finally. You know what I'm saying? So for you, how's it been your experience playing Outriders since launch, man?
Oh, I mean, I'm loving it, but it's funny. I'm very much with you that I honestly have no idea what's going on in the story. I just simply don't care. I really don't. It's not. Yeah. You're definitely not playing Outriders for the story. It's similar to The Division in that way, where I just never really truly, you know, understood what was going on in there, because I'm not skipping the cutscenes like you are, but I'm definitely not really paying attention. The thing about Outriders that I love is the gameplay loop, is the moment to moment gunplay with the cover system, adding in the abilities and the difficulty. It's funny you bring up the solo play. Believe it or not, I kind of like it. I kind of like
really?
It. I kind of like it because it's brutal.
It is brutal.
And I like that it forces me to strategize. Like, when people check out my video, I have some solo play in there. I have some co-op play in there, and I have some solo play in there. But you'll see with the solo play, kind of got to slow down, got to strategize. You really got to, because again, you can't synergize the different abilities together with your co-op teammates, right? Like, I've mostly been playing as a pyro, and I got to be smart about it. I got to be smart about what I'm using. Some of the legendary weapons, like I have this one legendary assault rifle that has freeze on it, so I can kind of freeze the enemy. So I kind of have to strategize and use, like, all right, let me freeze him. And while he's frozen for a minute, I'm going to focus on these other guys. All right, oh, now he's back. Oh, now I got to get him, you know, and oh, throw the ability. It's like, there's so much going on as a solo. But add in that it is brutal with the checkpoint. If you die, oh man, they'll send you all the way back and you got to start all over again.
So, I was going to bring that up too.
So as much as I like it, it can be a little frustrating at the same time. But obviously the sweet spot is the co-op experience with that. Get with a couple buddies and just, like I said, go through the moment-to-moment gameplay loop in the levels. I mean, the one thing about it, this is not an open world game, despite what some people may think. It's very linear in that respect. Sure, you can kind of go on the map and pick a spot where you want to start off from, but it's very direct. Like, there's not a lot of exploration in there. You're just going from moment to moment fights, get to the boss, defeat them, get your loot. All right, travel out, go to the next thing. Like I said, I dig it for that. And it's funny, Blessing, over on Kind of Funny, I saw him say on the Daily Show today, it reminds him of a PlayStation 3 era game. And I totally get that. It's almost retro in that way, because we obviously see a lot of the modern quote unquote looter shooter games now have a bit of exploration in it. It's more open world. You can kind of be more choosy versus this one. To me, really feels kind of point A to point B type of gameplay loop in it. But I'm fine with that. I like it. I honestly like it because, like I said, I love the third person shooter cover system. Couple it with the debility. Like, to me, this is definitely feels like the birth child of Destiny, The Division. You could even throw a little Diablo and Gears in there as well, obviously with the cover system. And it's fun. I'm having fun with it. And that ultimately is what matters in this. Like, I woke up this morning thinking about Outriders. I was like, I got a meeting at 8:30. Oh man, I could get a couple missions in before that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I start thinking like that about a game, I know it's fun. You know, once the end game stuff, once you get to the expeditions and all that, I mean, mm-hmm. we'll see how that holds up long term. But at least right now, I'm having fun with it. And look, shameless plug back to what we were originally talking about. Hell, it's on Game Pass. You got an Xbox and Game Pass. Go try it out for yourself and see if you like mm-hmm. it. You know, right now, they're not trying to kill you with microtransactions or cosmetics or anything like that. It's pretty much just a straightforward experience. I guess I'm speculating they'll have something down the road, you know, to monetize this game for the long term. I just can't imagine them putting this game out and it is what it is and they're done. There'll be more stuff down the road for sure. But I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited for this being a new IP. It's fun as hell to play with my friends and the long term potential of what it can be, because Outriders is not perfect. Let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. Like you had brought this up, Danny, the map, I don't like it. It can get a little confusing. I kind of got it now, but it can be a little confusing at first trying to navigate. All right, where do I go now for the next thing? Right. There's some UI things that they can change. Obviously, the server issues that they're having right now is not ideal. The loading in this is atrocious. I can't stand it.
Brutal.
Because mm-hmm. because it's not loading just for like, all right, I've completed a mission. Now I need to load to get to the next thing. It's like you come to a door, you open it, you get a freaking cutscene of you walking through the door, and then it loads and you bring it back. I'm like, oh, that's I don't like that. I suspect a lot of the cutscene stuff that we do see is masking some loading in the background as well. So these are some things that they can clean up in the future, right? It's a minor concern versus a major, like, oh my God, they better fix this next week or I'm done playing. I'll keep playing it because I'm having fun. So quality of life stuff that they definitely need to improve down the road with it. But overall, I recommend it. I would say if you like third person shooters, if you like grinding for loot, do it. I mean, once that purple starts dropping, once that purple stuff start coming, you're like, man, I'm in now. And once you start getting mm-hmm. to some cool mods and stuff that you can put in, oh, dude, chain it with the abilities. Fun as hell, man. Love it. Absolutely love it.
It's a wrap. You know, my favorite cutscene that pops up a lot is the bridge jump. he just jumps. But it's like, okay, he jumps and it goes, fade in, fade out.
Yeah.
What
was the point?
It was a point. Or another one is when you're about to kill someone, they show him with the weapon, kills a guy, fade in, fade out. I'm like, what was the point? They could just do it from there, from that scene right there. You don't have to like show the loading screen. I don't know. It was just strange. Now, but I do have one more question, Paris. What is your class for this one? Yeah, for me, I have, my character is, and you tell me what's the name because I can't quite remember. The fire one. What's the name of that one?
It's the pyromancer. That's pyromancer. Kind of been my primary one I've been using. Yeah.
Oh, that's the same one. Oh, cool. I like it. I like it. I've been enjoying it. I've been every time I level up, you know, I go to my skills, upgrade all everything. But I've been changing around the different type of stuff that you could do with the fire. So the one that I really like is when my health is like all the way down, I grab the health from the enemy and I take most of it in from my character so I could continue playing there, man. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, dude. It's a lot. It's a lot of fun. I'm probably going to be playing that again later on today, man, mm-hmm. and continue, man. Yeah. So, but yeah, if you guys are listening to this, I have a surprise because I'm not promoting this on Discord. I'm not promoting this on Twitter. I'm going to give away, Paris, a free PlayStation 4 / PlayStation 5 code of the Outriders. So you could do this right now. Redeem this code. And if you redeem it, please let us know. And give us a shout out on social media or on Discord if you redeem this. So the code is X52J, N as in no, F N as in no again, 7 H C T A. That's X52J N F N 7 H C T A. Shout out to Square. Square Enix for sending me this code. And yeah, good luck. For those that are listening to the show all the way here towards the end, you just won a free Outriders game for your PlayStation 4 or 5 console. So have fun. Have fun. Anything else, Paris? Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. And also, you could find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, post a review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, this Thursday, we're going to have a brand new episode. So send us your questions, your feedback. We'll read it. We'll do a whole episode just fan mail. So it all depends on you. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.